We are back from recess, and we have been provided with the information that Mr. Marmaget was alluding to. Andy?
The first recommendation that we had there on signatures on checks during our audit, we noted that there's still some accounts that have just one signature on their checks. Most of the county's checks that are issued have two, but there are still a few out there. And what we're recommending is that the county require two signatures on all checks. And that's just a good procedure to have in place to help protect the county's monies. Number two, new bank accounts.
Hold just a second.
Oh, sure.
As I'm looking at the funds that you are referring to, I would just like to note that none of these are funds that the commission has direct control over. They're all special funds.
That's correct.
From held by other officers, but we will make sure that each officer is given a copy of this recommendation, and we will strongly push to see that this happens. Is that a fair statement, gentlemen?
Where does the double signature come from? I understand that these are for special funds, but where do they, who is responsible other than the elected official signature? Is it, who is the other signature that needs to be on those? We have directed as a commission this very recommendation.
It could be a deputy within their own offices. That could be a second signature, or if they want the county auditor to be a second signature. It doesn't.
Okay.
So it could be a deputy within their own office. It doesn't have to be an outside someone outside their office. It can be someone within their office. So.
Okay.
I think what Andy wants to do is just to have a policy so that kind of covers you guys. That's the whole idea. The one that's in the sheriff's department, by the way, I don't think they would allow to have two checks on because it's a junk book. Should they actually as well as what they want to make a drug bust or buy the drugs? And it just wouldn't be appropriate for them to be trying to buy drugs with two signatures. It's where they're, you understand what it is?
Yeah.
If the sheriff has got this policy in his department that any of it makes sense, he has to.
Well, the drug forfeiture, I do know there's an account, and I think that's what this account is monies that they're getting from the federal government for drug forfeiture.
Yeah.
They may be doing cash out of it for what you're talking about, which wouldn't apply, but they also buy equipment stuff out of it. So.
And we will provide this recommendation to each of the special funds that you've included in your report. And I will ask that the county consider a policy in compliance with your request.
I've got two questions.
Yes, sir.
One of the questions is, I didn't know you could buy drugs with checks. And the other one is, if we have a policy that we provide for that we recommend and other elected officials don't want to implement that, which has been a statement made by some of them, what do we do at that point?
Well, we certainly have done what he's recommended.
We've done what he's recommended before.
All you can do is have a policy that states all county accounts, including special accounts, all can have two signatures. But the powers of the commission are limited. You can't force it since they're not directly under the control of the commission. All you can do is just recommend or have a policy in effect that states that. Any other questions on that one? New bank accounts. County needs to have a policy in place that if one of the other offices or any office opens up a new bank account, that there's procedures in place to inform the commission and the county auditor's office of that new account being opened up so that the proper accounting can be done for those accounts and the proper chart of accounts can be set up on the general ledger for it. So we're recommending that the county adopt a policy for that. Number three, segregation of duties. Currently, the county auditor's office actually prepares accounts payable and the payroll instead of just being the office that monitors accounts payable and payroll. And what we're recommending here is that the county segregate the preparation of AP and payroll from the monitoring. And that segregation can occur within the county's auditor's office, or it can be separated from the county auditor's office. But if you segregate this, you want to be able to, for the county auditor's office to still have the ability to perform the internal audit function that the county's auditor's office should have the resources to do. And that's one of the things that I've listed out in this recommendation, is all of the internal, well, not all, that's probably just a partial list, but some of the internal audit functions that the county auditor's office should perform for the county. And they are doing a lot of things that are on here on this list, but these are things that need to be considered when thinking about how you're going to segregate accounts payable and payroll. This is a very difficult recommendation to implement, and it's not something you can do overnight due to the nature of it, but we do recommend that the county move towards segregating the monitoring of AP and payroll from the preparation of AP and payroll. Any questions on that one?
In the middle of your paragraph, listed number three, it says all of these duties can be segregated within the county auditor's office. This process takes away from other statutory responsibilities, which include providing the internal functions of the county. So is it your position that we're unable to provide those because we're providing these services within the auditor's office?
I think what I'm saying is that not all of these internal audit functions can be done if given the resource that the county auditor's office has and that it's utilizing to prepare the payroll and AP.
Okay, right. I'm with you.
But I didn't want to, we're not saying that none of these are not being done. It just says it takes away from these other areas. Number four, employee benefits. We had recommended in the past that the county update its personnel policy regarding benefits and other personnel issues, and the county has done that, so we're not making a recommendation here. We're commending the county, and so we'd like to commend the county for getting that done. Number five is also a commendation. In the past, we had recommended that the county appoint an individual that's responsible for monitoring the grants of the county, and the county has implemented that recommendation, so we'd like to commend the county for implementing that. Number six, intergovernmental agreements, again, is a commendation, not a recommendation. We had recommended that the county update its intergovernmental agreements for the capital improvement sales tax money, and the county has done that, so we'd like to commend the county for implementing that recommendation. Number seven, contingency accounts. During our audit, we noted that the county was coding actual disbursements to an expense code called contingency. Contingencies is used for the budgetary process to prevent funds from exceeding its budgetary authorization, but actual expenditures should be coded to the proper descriptive expense code. For example, if you buy a vehicle, it should be coded to a capital outlay or vehicle account. It shouldn't be coded to a contingency account. So that's, we're recommending that, yes, you can use contingency accounts for budgetary purposes, but not for actual coding of actual expenditures.
I understand. A couple of quick notes. In order to make budget and to provide a number of revenues that are sufficient to cover the expenses that are contained within the budget, we have different scenarios that might occur during the year. We might need to put a new roof on a building, which we ended up having to do last year, and it was in a contingency fund. We might have to get a new radio system in the sheriff's office. And rather than adding all of these monies either to the buildings and ground budget or the sheriff's budget or other budgets, hoping that just one or two of those major expenses would come to pass during the year, we put them within a contingency fund. For example, this year we had told the sheriff that if possible, we will take it from the contingency fund if there aren't other major expenses during the year that would prohibit that from happening. what you're saying, if I'm not mistaken, is once we have incurred that expense, rather than show it as an expense to the contingency line where the monies are actually at, show it to the department that benefited from the expense. So we would show it as an expense, for example, to the sheriff's department rather than to that line contingency fund.
That's correct. And when you look at budgetary compliance, you're not looking at line items. You're looking at the entire fund itself. So even though you may not have a budget line item or the actual expenditure code is exceeding the budget on that particular line, that's okay, as long as you're not exceeding your budget for the fund as a whole, because that's where you look at, it's at that level that you look at budgetary compliance. So you can have a contingency budget line item and the actual expense be on a different line within the fund. That's fine.
Right, and at the end of the year, it's going to show that you have all your contingency funds remaining on paper, but you've overexpended in the other funds.
On the other lines.
On the other lines, I'm sorry, right. Within that one fund.
Correct.
I hear you.
Okay. Number eight, Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. This law is already in effect. However, the federal government is not going to start enforcing it till January 1st, 2015. The county has taken steps to make sure that it's in compliance with this new act, and all we're recommending here is that the county continue monitoring its policies and procedures in regards to this act to ensure that that the policy procedures in place are working so that it's in compliance come January 1st, 2015. Number nine, credit card logs. During our audit, we noted that offices are assigned credit cards in individuals' names. However, these cards are given to other employees in the offices without utilizing a login or logout for credit cards. The county should utilize credit card logs noting date, time, and signature of the individual signing out the card and noting the date, time, and signature of the individual signing back in the card. This will ensure that the county is able to track the custody of credit cards at all times. And so we're recommending to the commission to set a policy for the use of credit cards and how to log those in and out. The last recommendation on the next page is regard to purchase orders. The county's purchase order system does not allow for dollar amounts of quoted bids or bid amounts to be entered in on the purchase order. This ability will allow county to match up the quoted prices or bid amounts to the invoices prior to payment on the invoice. This would help prevent the overpayment of goods and services to vendors. We recommend that county request a modification to the purchase order system to allow for amounts to be entered for quoted prices and bid amounts. And the county should then adopt a policy requiring these amounts to be entered on the purchase order and matched to the invoice prior to payment. And that is all I had to go over this morning. If the commission has any other questions on anything that I've covered today.
Danny, Brandon?
If not, I'd like to thank the commission for having me here this morning, and I do want to take a moment to thank all the county offices and their personnel who have helped us during the audit, especially the county auditor's office who we work the most with. It's always difficult trying to do the normal job you have to do every day. Then you have to put up with auditors at the same time. But everyone here at the county was very professional and courteous to me and my staff, and we appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Andy, thank you very much. We appreciate you. MoDOT. Good morning. How are you, Beth?
Came through a crash site on 160 this morning with a motorcyclist. It didn't look good. I hope he's okay, but I didn't see anybody tending to the motorcycles, so I'm assuming it was fatality.
It was between here and 65?
Yeah, just west of the 176 intersection closest to Forsyth. Sorry about that. I just don't deal well with accidents on our roadway. So, what we've got going as far as construction, we've got basically just we're finishing up the construction season. Got a little bit of activity going on 65 north of here, up in the Ozark area, where we are replacing the bridge north of Ozark on the northbound lanes. That work is progressing nicely. What they ended up doing there was expanding the bridge out to the to the west and diverting traffic onto the expanded portion of the bridge while they replaced the old section of bridge. And so that's going well. They finished the overlay project that was basically on the southbound lanes. They're just south of Ozark. And the other project that we've got going right now is the straightening of 76, I guess you'd call it. It's still going to be a big curve, but we're getting rid of the nasty little S-curve there between the high road and 265. Contractor has been working two shifts on that project, trying to get as far ahead as they could. They actually have a delivery date of next spring, but they have to have the roadway alignment open with the first few lifts of asphalt, so it's drivable before mid-December. So it has to be open before the winter months. They are trying to push that project so that hopefully they can have everything done and be out of there before the end of the year. So they're on good pace right now. I know they've had a little bit of rain, but look like they were making good effort on that. As far as our maintenance folks go, we started our mowing last week. You'll see a lot of that going on. I believe for the most part they will try to delay the major roads like 65 until about the first week of October. This is our final mowing of the season, so they want to try to make that as significant as possible, but they've started on the minor roads as of last week. You'll see them focusing. They were finishing up their patching and anything that needed to be done during warmer summer hours. That's pretty well done, and so now they're focused more on cleaning off bridge decks. You'll see them this out a little bit later, focused on ditching and replacing pipes for next year, so when we do come through and do surface work, the pipes will have settled in over the winter and we'll have all that done. So one thing I wanted to let you know about was we do have, every 2 years, we have federal grant money that channels through MoDOT, so we're in charge of administering it, but it's federal money that's available through a grant program to all of the state of Missouri, which in our case is 21 counties in our district, and we administer that within our district. It's about $3.1 million. It's for transportation alternatives, which most people interpret that as a sidewalk program, but we do other things besides sidewalks, but the majority are sidewalks. There's a $250,000 cap on the amount of federal funding, and there's a 20% match requirement. So the sponsor or the grant applicant has to have the 20% match. So that will be due in mid-November. We will have a committee that will consist of the regional planning commissions and people that they pick to be on the committee to actually do the grant selection. MoDOT representatives will set in on the process, give some feedback, that type of thing, but we won't actually be making the selections. It'll be made by, public entities that are partnering with us to get the process done. But that's mid-November. Usually doesn't take us very long to turn those back around, so we'll probably know before the first of the year how many grants we'll have given out. If we did the cap on each one, that's only about 12 or 13 grants, so not a lot of money. But it is a significant boon to those communities that do get the grant. I've administered about three, in the last year. And they've made significant improvements to school routes and things like that. Usually we see a lot of sidewalks that are going into schools in that program. So working with Commissioner Williams on a possible grant application out there by the College of the Ozarks with a safety concern at their intersection at Business 65. So we're trying to put some numbers together to see if the cost of improvements out there would be significant enough to pursue a grant or if we just need to go a different route. So I think that's all I've got. Oh, I did want to, I have a lot of people from the communities, cities, counties, chambers of commerce ask me what the next step that the commission is going to take as far as funding. And we do have a letter that's sent out, and you all probably get this, but it's called A View from the Chair. It comes from our chairman of the commission. And I just wanted to read a couple of paragraphs that he had included in his last letter. He says, the needs are not going to go away. With last month's defeat of Constitutional Amendment 7, which would have increased the state sales tax to fund transportation projects, we must keep searching for an answer to our transportation funding problems that Missourians will embrace. We're searching for something that Missourians will embrace. We are keenly aware of the challenge ahead, and far from being discouraged, we are committed to continuing to explore ways to fund transportation. We have already begun examining all possible options. There will be no grand plan along the lines of Amendment 7, but there are still options available, small bites of the apple. We are dedicated to addressing this problem any way we need to, one bite at a time. And I think that really sums up what I've been hearing from our senior management, is that we know that there's probably not going to be a grand plan come out in the next year, obviously with the defeat of Amendment 7, but we've seen enough concern and enough commitment by people who, you know, want to rally behind their representatives, that we feel like maybe there can be made progress in a smaller, you know, a smaller type of scenario, maybe something that actually goes through the legislature instead of to the people. We just don't know yet. But I know that we're hearing a lot of buzz from our representatives, you know, ideas that they're throwing out. We just have to get those ideas organized and united. And I think the big thing is we need all parties on board. In the past, with Amendment 7, obviously the governor was opposed. We feel like that we need to have all parties on board if we're going to continue with some type of funding in the future.
There hasn't been any talk from any of the legislators about something that you're going to pre-file regarding that issue?
I'm not sure about pre-filing. Our governmental representative, Jay Wunderlich, did send a note out last week saying that there were lots of different things that were being discussed, but when he says being discussed, I don't know if he means that they're going to pre-file or if they're just kind of bouncing them off of him to see what he thinks. It was interesting because he listed five or six ideas, and they all mainly consisted of you know, some either raising the gas tax, doing a combination of gas and sales tax, transferring all of the tax over to diesels instead of to gasoline. But none of them included tolling. There was a little bit of discussion of raising fees, like licensure and things like that, but tolling was the only thing I didn't see. And that's been traditionally thrown out as an option, so I was kind of surprised that that didn't come up in the list. But really didn't see anything new, just more ability maybe to combine two or three different methods instead of, you know, take 1 or 2 cents on the gas tax and maybe a quarter cent on the sales tax, or, you know, something like that where they could combine them to come up with, you know, a smaller pot of money. Probably not the amount we were pursuing with Amendment 7, but maybe something that would be graduated over several years. So, which, you know, that's a lot of why we're in the situation that we are, is we went with a flat gas tax in 92, and it's not been changed since then, so something that would either be indexed or graduated or something like that would be helpful. So, unfortunately, we're far enough in the hole. I'm not sure that little increments are going to catch us up the way we need to, but anything would help at this point. So, did you all have any questions for me?
Yeah. So you're looking at Danny?
He's here. Talked to Brandon last week about concern over at College of the Ozarks, so I'm assuming he's not going to spring anything else on me.
I know that the BB sidewalks has already been discussed, I guess, with you or with MoDOT in general. So
yeah, I know.
Hollister schools, that's pretty bad too. There's little kids walking on BB with no sidewalks.
When I went to Partners in Progress last Thursday, Rick Ziegenfuss did say that they were going to go ahead and put in for a grant application for BB. So,
good.
Beyond that, our meeting was pretty small at Partners last week, so we didn't have a lot of representatives from the other cities, so I don't know if there's other applications that are floating around out there or not. But I'm sure there will be. I know that there was a representative there from the consultant that's working for the city of Branson on their 76 project, and I know they're going to pursue a grant application for maybe what they were calling kind of a starter project, something smaller that they could kind of kick off quicker for the 76 Boulevard project.
If there are grants available and projects aren't ready, I'm speaking about the bridge down here, and you're talking about sidewalks, and I know that that's still up in the air as far as consideration of using the old bridge for a bike or pedestrian type situation, but if it came down to needing a sidewalk area cross, would those monies come from a grant that is issued to the state to distribute, federal funds from the state to distribute? Do you understand what I'm saying? If there's an addition of dollars available, say that was happening this year.
Okay.
And the $250,000 that would be a issued to the state, would that grant be available for extension of a sidewalk area?
If a group wanted to come forward and pursue a grant application for a sidewalk that maybe tied into the bridge and wanted to make that one project, I think we could review that and entertain that. The grant application does require a 20% match. So if you went for the $250,000, that group would have to have $62,500 in match for their 20%. And I don't know, I have no idea what the cost would be on that project, having not looked at it, but that would be the max outlay they would have if they did the maximum 80% match.
And we don't even know if it's going to be available at that time, though, right? What I'm saying is if we put in for it, and the project's going to...
I would think that we don't normally see, and I don't know if there's any restriction on it, but the committee has to choose projects, and like I said, there'll only be a few projects, obviously, and we usually get probably quadruple that number of applicants. We'll probably get 50 or 60 applicants, and we've got maybe 12 to 15. I would think that they would go with projects that they knew were going to happen within the next year or two. I don't know if we're restricted to that or not, but I know that the federal government likes us to see the money putting it back into the economy almost immediately. So I would think that normally, if things stay the way they are, which we never know, for sure that we're going to get a continuation on the federal transportation bill, but with that project coming up in 2017, maybe the next round, the grants in 2016 might be a more applicable time to put in for that, because that would probably fit more into the window of when something would need to occur.
And that was my only question, if it's available.
And that's a good question.
Because it's if you got turned down that year, then you have no other recourse to apply. And so I thought, well, if you made an app a year in advance, mm-hmm. then your chances maybe of getting the money would be more. But that's all right. That's just a question that I was asking.
I don't know how the group would look at it, but I know we are pushed very heavily to try to make sure that money is going to get used rather quickly, because mm-hmm. they want that to stimulate the economy. I mean, yes, it, you know, it's, the money's there to improve transportation, but it's also meant as a stimulus too, and
right.
That's why they don't like to see our account balances not moving, and they like to see that money flowing out to the consultants and the contractors. So.
Right.
But it would be, I think that 2016, you know, I've been here 12 years and this program's always existed. The money varies a little bit, but 2016 might be a better time frame to pursue that to coincide with the construction of the bridge. I hadn't really thought about it before, to be honest.
Yeah, I wanted two chances instead of one.
And that would be fine. I would have to look into it and just make sure, because like I said, I think it would be a little bit early, but I can see why you would want to go for as many windows of opportunity as you can.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you.
Accounts payable.
Thank you, Beth.
Move to approve checks numbers 341163 through 341233, warrant 6069, and a transfer from 103 to the 400 account for the primary election.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve checks numbers 341163 through 341233, warrant number 6069, and a transfer from 103 to 400 for the primary election. Discussion?
Do you want to make note that this one was voided, 341162?
Sure. Special note, the check number 341162 was voided, which is why it wasn't included. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Payroll.
Motion for approval of payroll.
Motion's made and seconded to approve payroll. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed nay. Motion carries.
Minutes 7:28, 9:04, 9:08, 9:15, 9:17, and 9:18 with correction.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve previous County Commission minutes dated 7:28, 9:04, 9:08, 9:15, 9:17, and 9:18 with corrections. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Court orders.
No, I don't know.
Sorry.
A few minutes.
Huh? We'll stand in recess for just a few minutes.